What a great church. You have taken an old building and filled it full of life. I think if anyone was to ask me, so how's it going in Comox? I would say, well, I feel a bit like a lion in a den of Daniels. it's wonderful. I'm just overwhelmed by your presence. It's just great. So we're going to shorten things up this morning. It's only going to be a 15-minute sermon, but we're going to shorten up how we do things. In your bulletin, you have a number of scriptures in there, and they refer to what we'll be looking at here today. And we've already started with one from the book of James. And that is, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And this is something that Job needed to understand, and so did his three friends, especially at this profound time of complete and absolute confusion. It was, just give you a quick overview of the first couple of chapters in the book of Job, is God just leveled the place. Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, he and his wife. And then in chapter 2, it sounds like he lost his wife, which he didn't. She came to the end of her rope and God tied a knot in it for her. And you see her at the end of the book. And it's just crazy. You think, how can any of this be from God? But it is. I'm trying to find the right PowerPoint here. Oh, hang on. That's a good one right there. We'll just use that one. That's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, gives us the eternal perspective in life. And we need that, especially when life is gone or taken from us. We need the eternal perspective what goes on from here. Sometimes I use that when I'm giving a sermon that somebody has passed away. And I start it with, so what goes on now? What happens now? What happens next? Ah, exactly. What happens next? Sometimes all we see is the end. We need to ask, what happens next? That's the eternal perspective. Life is less frightening through the eyes of God. He sees everything through the eternal perspective, not just our today, but our tomorrow. He sees our lives with eternity as the backdrop. Times of extreme suffering will drive us to consider that there is more than just ourselves and the miserable moment we happen to be living in. These times remind us of the eternal. My wife said when we were raising our kids and I'm wanting to move to the other side of the world till they're all grown up, you know, like teenage years are awkward for kids and parents. And so she would say, it's not the end of the story yet. That would bring me back to the reality that we were in. So the rest of the book will be about Job's faith, hope, and love, because everything else has been taken away. And just a quick comment on Job's chapter 1, verse 21. He said, after all of this happened, before his wife made her comment in chapter 2, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great. That was perfect Christianese, right? Sometimes we just don't feel it. Job said the right thing. That was good. But the story goes on because God knows there's more than what just Job is showing on the surface. There's deeper things about his life that he doesn't know about. And that's causing havoc in the community that he lives in, which he doesn't see. Huh, interesting. You'll be encouraged today because I am going to give you the key to the book of Job, what absolutely opens it up like a beautiful flower. Well, we're not quite there yet, but we're moving in that direction. No. It's going to happen today. It's going to happen today. So I'm going through my notes rather quickly. because I'm giving you the crux of what you need to understand this book. And you'll see other verses in your bulletins that'll help you do that. So I'm giving you the direction, and I'll give you a bump along the way, but you'd be reading the book of Job so you can see the details of it. When I preach this at Cape and Ray with all the students, I go into details for them. But you're going to have to find your own details. So, PowerPoint number 12. Oh, we're already there. Okay, let's carry on. So, how to approach the Lord who works wondrous things through adversity. How do we do that? Well, we give thanks, and we said that this morning. But here's one for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. You'll find this in your bulletin. First half of that verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He doesn't care about your strength. Your strength isn't going to help you. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf, and he just wants you to be loyal. Even you don't understand. God, I hate this day, but I love you. We have those days, right? We have those times. They're out there. Okay, it's time to see the key to the book. We're not clicking here. There we go. So Job chapter 12, verse 3, and Job chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, we can see there, let me read that, Job chapter 12, verse 3. I don't think that's the verse, is it? No. Job chapter 12, verse 3. I don't want to miss this, and I'm just about finished the sermon for today. Watching my watch. Job chapter 12, verse 3. He says to his friends who have been badgering him and beating up on him, there's got to be sin in your life, Job. And Job says to them, but I have wisdom as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things? That he's, this is what he's trying to explain to them. And chapter 13, verse 2, what you know, I also know. I'm not inferior to you. Their theology was exactly the same. And what Job was doing in chapter 1, visiting his children, making intercession for them with prayer and everything, because Job's life was based on what he was doing for God and not what God was doing for him. And it's performance orientation. Sometimes we get oriented, we get so busy even in church life that we become oriented on the things that we do instead of the one who does all things well, in, through, and in spite of us. And the trouble is, Job was a very rich man. That wasn't his problem. But his friends were also rich. That's why they came to visit him. They're all rich friends. But in the rich, when somebody's rich, they automatically become a leader in the community. Well, obviously, they know what they're doing. Look at all the money they have. Right? So when you're a religious person and you're rich, watch out because people are following you. So God is looking at these four people, not just one, four of them, and he says, like the church of Laodicea, doing all things well and thinking much of themselves, and their rebuke was strong. Do you not know that you're poor, wretched, miserable, and blind? Wow. So that's what was going on here. So he levels the place and he picks Job. Why does he pick Job? I mean, Job is honest, and his friends want nothing to do with it. They're defending their ignorance, and they're beating Job up with it. Now, Job gets to feel what his theology is actually doing to people. This is how they feel. Because he comes marching in and starts hammering out scriptures. And well, if you were really a believer, you'd do this, that, and the other thing. And all the while, God is making them into believable believers. Because sometimes we're not. Believable believers. Like, this book is relevant to today. It really is. It's not an old-fashioned book. This book is dripping with wisdom, and we're going to get into it further as we go along, and my sermon is finished for today. There, you've got the key to the book. Now remember this. As you see his friends hammering on him, remember, look at the biography I gave you. Remember, they're all performance-oriented. And when you get a church that's fully performance-oriented on what everybody's doing, it's going to blow up. Right? I love the way you presenting Christ in this church. It's wonderful. I have a paraphrase for the New Testament. Get over yourself. Right? Yeah. So that's basically all I know. See that? So that's it there. No, so we're. But I just want to say, there's a young fellow in the back. I think his name was Lucas. Met him this morning. Is he there, Lucas? All right. So if you have any questions about the book of Job, put your hand up, Lucas. Just ask Lucas. He knows. And the answer, Lucas, for all that they ask you is, get over yourself. Okay? The young man's set. He's good to go now. Sorry for turning that loose in your midst. Anyway. Communion. I love your communion loaf. It's amazing. And I lost my Bible. It doesn't take long to lose your Bible, does it? Communion today from Matthew 26, verses 26 and 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Jesus is the bread of life. And Father, even as we acknowledge this, we thank you for Jesus, Father, the bread of life. And he said, as he broke this bread, he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take that in and understand what that means. Man cannot live by bread alone, but only from the bread that comes from heaven, and that is Jesus. Are there any doctors or nurses in the house? I'm feeling okay. It's just you gotta, when an old guy says that, you got to be careful, right? He's going down. He's going down. No, seriously, is there a doctor in the house? I need somebody to help me with a word. I think I'm pronouncing it right, but I might not have it right. Okay, what I'm looking for is because I'm looking for, I'll tell you this word, if I haven't got it right, let me know. Deoxyribonucleic acid, right? Stands for RNA, okay? I'm gonna say DNA, our makeup, okay? So as we look at and the blood of Christ shed for us, and Father, we thank you for his blood, for his person. Thank you, Jesus. And we look at all that he is, and we look at his DNA of the Father. Well, when we take communion, I want to change that up for you just a little bit. When we use the words, the letters DNA, it stands for divine nature accepted. No more fighting with God. No, I'm not suddenly perfect. These are just elements that celebrate all that he does, all that he does, all that he is. Divine nature accepted. Don't fight God in his will. Don't fight God in what you think is your life. If you've given your life to Jesus, it doesn't belong to you anymore. He's caring for you. You're feeling his strength, you know, his wisdom. He's taking things from you that you think are important. He knows they're not. Trust him. Divine nature accepted.